Welcome back for another Depth Dive with us. This time, we're going to be looking at something a little different, something a little bit complicated. We're kind of going into the area where economics and politics, they kind of like overlap, and it gets murky in there. So we've got two sources that we're going to be diving into today. One is an economic analysis, and it's warning about, the potential for a debt crisis in the U.S. And then we've got a whole other separate source, a summary of a recent speech that former President Trump gave to Congress. And of course, we've got the Democratic response to that speech as well. Now, you might be thinking, okay, those are two totally different things. What could they possibly have to do with each other? But that's kind of the fun of it. We're going to kind of see if we can figure out how these two things connect, how they kind of paint a broader picture of, where things stand economically, politically.
It's like putting together a puzzle, like using these different pieces to kind of get a sense of the bigger picture.
Right, exactly. And that bigger picture is kind of what we're going for here.
Sure.
So let's start with this economic analysis. It's got some kind of alarming stuff in here, especially when it comes to the national debt. So, looking at this analysis, what really stood out to you?
Well, this analysis is really focused on it's focused on the idea that, we've got these proposed tax cuts. And if we keep extending those tax cuts without really finding ways to balance the budget, that could be a recipe for disaster. It's essentially saying, like, hey, if we keep cutting taxes without making up for that lost revenue somehow, we could end up in a serious debt
Yeah,
crisis.
they're not just like, waving their arms and saying, "Oh no, the sky is falling." They've got some pretty specific numbers in here that back up those concerns, right?
Exactly. So there's this group, the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, the CRFB, and they're projecting that extending these tax cuts could cost, get this, between $5 and $11.2 trillion over the next decade. That's a massive amount of money. And, we'd essentially be borrowing that money, adding it to the national debt, which is already pretty substantial as it is.
5 to 11 trillion dollars. Okay. I just want everyone listening to really like let that number sink in for a second. I mean, to put that into perspective, you could literally buy every single house in the United States with that kind of money and still have a ton left over. So it's a huge amount of money. So what are they proposing to do about this? Like how do we even begin to tackle a problem of that magnitude?
Well, there are some ideas out there. They talk about offsets. Basically, offsets are ways to make up for the lost revenue from those tax cuts.
Okay, so find money somewhere else.
Exactly. But the analysis points out that the proposed offset, they're pretty weak.
Oh
Yeah,
no.
they only cover a tiny fraction, something like 0.2 to 2% of the total projected cost.
So it's like we've got this massive leak in a dam and we're trying to plug it with like a tiny little Band-Aid. That's
Whoa.
not that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, does it?
Not really, no. And here's where it gets even more complicated. The analysis talks about this concept called dynamic feedback. Basically, it's the idea that, okay, maybe these tax cuts, they'll actually boost the economy so much that we'll end up making up for that lost revenue through economic growth. It's kind of an optimistic outlook, but the analysis argues that the assumptions behind this dynamic feedback, they're way too optimistic. Like, it's not realistic to expect that kind of growth to magically solve everything.
Right. So they're saying, like, don't bank on some miracle to save us from this potential debt crisis.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's not just about the tax cuts themselves either. It's about, looking at the broader economic context. We've got an aging population, more and more baby boomers are retiring, and that means more people needing health care. And, health care costs are not exactly going down, they're going up, up, up. So all of these factors, they put even more strain on the budget.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got these proposed tax cuts, which could potentially cost trillions of dollars. Then we've got these offsets, which are like they're there, but they're not really doing much. And then we've got this whole dynamic feedback thing, which is kind of like hoping for, for a miracle. And all of this is happening while healthcare costs are just skyrocketing and more baby boomers are entering retirement. It's a lot to juggle.
Absolutely. And that's why this analysis is so important. It's like a wake-up call. It's saying, hey, we can't just ignore these long-term economic challenges. We have to start thinking about them now.
Right. Okay. So we've got this economic analysis, and it's painting a pretty sobering picture of our potential financial future. But now let's bring in our second source. And this might feel like a little bit of a jarring shift. But former President Trump, in a recent address to Congress, he was basically like taking a victory lap. He was saying the economy is strong, the border is secure, things are great.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? You've got this warning about a looming debt crisis on one hand, and then you've got, you know, the former president celebrating economic success on the other hand. It's quite the contrast.
It's almost like they're speaking two different languages, you know? Mm-hmm. So how do we make sense of these seemingly contradictory messages? How do we even begin to reconcile them?
Well, that's a really good question, and that's something that we're going to try to unpack in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay, so stay with us because we're just getting started.
We'll be right back.
Okay, so we've got this economic analysis saying, hey, watch out, we might be headed for a debt crisis if we don't get things under control. And then we've got former President Trump saying, nope, everything's great, economy's booming, we're doing awesome. Did you see any kind of connection there between those two messages?
It's definitely interesting to see how those two ideas kind of bump up against each other. You know, you've got one side saying, hey, these tax cuts, if we keep extending them without being smart about the budget, it's going to be a problem. And then you've got the guy who really pushed for those tax cuts, saying, look how great things are. It makes you wonder, like, how much of this is about the actual numbers, the actual economics, and how much is about, you know, politics and spin?
Right. It's like looking at two sides of the same coin and trying to figure out which side is heads.
Yeah.
And I mean, Trump really hammered on that idea of a secure border in his speech. He even said something like border crossings are at their lowest point ever. But the source material we're looking at, it seems like that claim is, well, maybe stretching the truth a little, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, when it comes to border crossings, the data is, well, it's messy. There's a lot of different ways you could look at it. And maybe some specific types of crossings went down during certain times. But to say it's the lowest ever, like it's some kind of record, that's not really giving you the whole picture.
It's like instead of showing you the whole puzzle, they're just picking out a couple of pieces that fit the picture they want you to see.
That's a good way to put it. And that's where things can get dangerous, you know? When you start playing fast and loose with the facts, with the economic realities, it becomes really hard to make good decisions. It's like imagine a doctor who's trying to diagnose you, but they're only looking at like one or two of your symptoms and ignoring everything else. They might give you the totally wrong treatment and you could end up even sicker.
It's like trying to sail a ship with a broken compass. You might think you're headed in the right direction, but you're going to end up lost at sea.
Exactly. And when it comes to the economy, getting lost at sea, that's not a metaphor. That's a real possibility. If we don't take this potential debt crisis seriously, if we don't start planning for it, making tough choices, well, we could be in for some rough waters ahead.
So, okay, we've got this gap between Trump's rosy picture of the economy and this economic analysis saying, uh-oh, things could get bad.
Yeah.
But it's not just about the numbers, right? I mean, Trump's speech, it wasn't just a dry lecture about economics. It was a performance. It had, some theatrics, some jabs at Biden, some pretty sharp attacks. Did you get that same feeling?
Oh, absolutely. It was very much a performance. It was about getting the crowd fired up, getting his supporters energized, and taking some shots at his opponents. And I mean, there's always been political theater, right? It's nothing new. But the way it was used here, it's kind of interesting, especially when you put it next to all this stuff about the economy we've been talking about.
It was like the drama, the showmanship, it was almost overshadowing the substance, the actual issues. Maybe even trying to distract us from some of those less than rosy economic realities we were talking about earlier.
It's almost like there's a connection between that kind of theatrical approach and the way some people are talking about these tax cuts. You know, this idea that tax cuts are always good, that they'll always lead to amazing growth. It's kind of like it's like its own form of theater. It's creating a sense of excitement, a sense of hope, maybe even a sense of denial about the potential downsides.
So, okay, how do we, as people who want to be informed, how do we make sure we're not getting swept up in the drama, in the rhetoric? How do we stay focused on the facts, on what could actually happen down the line?
That's a great question. And I think one way to start is by looking at how other people are responding to these different stories, these different ways of framing the situation. So maybe we should shift gears a little bit and talk about the Democratic response to Trump's speech, because what they were saying, it was a pretty stark contrast, both in terms of like the tone and the message.
Yeah. It was definitely a different vibe. Trump was all about mission accomplished.
Yeah.
You know, patting himself on the back. But the Democrats, they seem to be focusing on something else entirely. What really jumped out at you from their response?
Well, the first thing that struck me was they weren't interested in putting on a show. They weren't trying to match Trump's energy, his theatrics. They were much more focused on what they called kitchen table issues, you know, the kind of stuff that regular people worry about every day, healthcare, jobs, making ends meet.
Yeah, it was definitely a more down-to-earth approach. They were talking about real-life challenges, the kind of things that, you know, that affect people in their daily lives. It wasn't about scoring political points or making grand pronouncements. It was about getting real.
Exactly. And I think that's an important lesson here. When we're trying to figure out what's going on with the economy, we can't just look at the big headlines, the political speeches, the talking points. We have to look at what's happening to real people in their homes, in their communities.
Because at the end of the day, the economy isn't just about abstract numbers and graphs. It's about people's lives.
Mm.
It's about their jobs, their families, their hopes and dreams.
Right. And that brings up another important point about the Democratic response. It wasn't just about pointing out problems. It was also a call to action. They were saying, hey, this is on all of us. We need to get involved. We need to hold our leaders accountable.
That's a big difference from Trump's approach, which was much more about rallying his base, you know, emphasizing those divisions between us and them. The Democrats, it seemed like they were trying to appeal to something bigger, a sense of shared responsibility, maybe. Well, what did you make of that difference in strategy?
Well, I think it says a lot about where each side is at right now, politically. Trump is still playing to his base, trying to keep those people energized and loyal. And the Democrats are trying to build a bigger tent to bring in more people, to create a broader coalition by talking about issues that resonate with a wider range of voters.
It's like we're watching two different plays being performed on the same stage. One is a big, loud spectacle full of sound and fury, meant to get the audience cheering. And the other one is a quieter, more thoughtful drama, trying to get people thinking, talking, engaging with the ideas.
That's a great analogy. And it'll be interesting to see which one resonates more with the audience, so to speak, as things unfold.
So speaking of unfolding, I think it's time we moved on to the final act of our deep dive. We've got a lot to unpack from all this information, a lot to think about in terms of what it all means for you, the listener.
Yeah, stay tuned, because we're going to wrap things up with some big questions, some things that we hope will keep you thinking long after this deep dive is over.
Okay, so we've really gone deep on this one. We started with that economic analysis, all those flashing red lights about a potential debt crisis if we don't start making some smarter choices, fiscally speaking. Then we jumped over to former President Trump's speech, where, well, he was painting a much brighter picture, all about a strong economy and a secure border. And then, of course, we had to bring in the Democratic response, which was a totally different approach, focusing on those everyday kitchen table issues and urging people to get involved, to take action. So after all that deep diving, what does it all actually mean? What's the takeaway for, you know, for you, the listener?
Well, I think the biggest thing is this is a reminder that you got to be a critical thinker, especially when you're wading into these waters, you know, economics, politics, all that, because you're going to get hit with all these different stories, different ways of looking at the data, different interpretations of the same events. It's up to you, to each of us, to sort through it all, weigh the evidence, and come to our own conclusions. You can't just take anyone's word for it.
It's like being a detective, right? You've got all these clues scattered around, these pieces of information coming from different places, and you have to figure out how to put them together to get the real story.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not easy, let me tell you. There's a lot of noise out there, a lot of people trying to spin things, to push their own agenda, to get you to see things their way. But if you stay curious, if you keep asking those questions, digging a little deeper, you can start to see through all that fog and get a clearer picture of what's really going on.
And one of the things we really dug into was this idea of offsets, right? Remember that the economic analysis was saying those proposed offsets for the tax cuts, they're pretty weak sauce, like barely a drop in the bucket compared to those trillions of dollars that could end up on the national debt. So let's bring it back down to earth. Like, what does that actually mean for people, for their lives, you know, practically speaking?
Okay, so think of it this way. That national debt, it's not just some number floating out there in space. It's a shared burden that we all carry. And when that debt keeps going up, it can have a ripple effect on the whole economy. Like, it can push up interest rates, which means it costs you more to borrow money, you know, for a mortgage, for a car loan. It can also squeeze the government's budget, make it harder for them to invest in stuff that we all need, like education, infrastructure, scientific research, all that good stuff.
So, yeah, it's not just some abstract concept. It's something that can hit you right in the wallet, affect your future, affect everyone's future, really.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to understand this stuff, to see how it connects to your own life, and then make your own choices, you know, how you vote, what policies you support, all of that. It matters.
We also talked about dynamic feedback, right?
Mm-hmm.
That whole idea that cutting taxes will like magically supercharge the economy and make up for any lost revenue. But the analysis was basically saying, don't get your hopes up too high on that one.
True.
So what's the lesson there, do you think?
I think it's a good reminder that in economics, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Everything has a cost, even tax cuts. And if we don't make smart choices about how we handle money, both as individuals and as a country, we could end up paying a pretty steep price down the line.
Yeah, like going on a wild shopping spree without even checking your bank account. You might feel great while you're swiping that card, but that feeling is going to fade pretty fast when those bills start showing up.
Exactly. And that kind of brings us back to those two different approaches we saw from former President Trump and the Democrats. Trump was all about, we're winning, the economy is strong, everything's great. But even though that might feel good to hear, it might not be the whole story. It might not be taking those tough economic realities into account. And then the Democrats, they were focusing on those kitchen table issues, on everyday people's struggles, and they were urging people to get involved, to be part of the solution. It's a very different way of looking at things, you know.
It really is. Two different paths forward, two different ways of approaching these challenges. And ultimately, it's up to each of us to decide which path we want to follow. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think the question we want to leave you with is this. What role do you want to play in all of this? Do you want to just sit back and watch it all unfold? Or do you want to step up, be part of the conversation, fight for the policies you believe in, and hold those in power accountable?
It's your choice, but remember, knowledge is power. The more you understand about these issues, the better equipped you'll be to navigate whatever's coming next.
Well said. And on that note, I think we're going to wrap things up. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you learned something, maybe even got a little fired up. And until next time, keep those minds curious and keep on diving deep.